We've titled this passage, A Great Servant's Dying Testimony. We understand that Memorial Day is honoring those that sacrificed for our freedom, and those that died in combat, those that turned up missing that we know by now in so many wars have passed, and some that weren't even found. But I was beginning to wonder, and I would think sometimes to myself, I wonder what they would tell us. Well, one would, we better get our act together. But there's also some other things that I think that they might tell us, and you can have your ideas, and I can maybe have mine. But in this passage of Scripture, there was another servant known as Paul. And I believe in these three verses, he's given us his dying testimony, knowing that death was near, knowing that he had been serving the Lord for a good while, and I don't believe ever regretted it. But we want to read these verses this morning, and beginning with verse 6 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together this morning. We thank you for the music and those that sang and the blessing. And Lord, we thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for those that are viewing. We thank you for this opportunity and the freedom that we have, that we can come and that we can freely worship you. Father, I pray this morning that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll help us, that you'll strengthen us, that you'll encourage us, and most importantly, that we just simply look to you. We ask your help this morning. We pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they'll come to know you today. And Lord, we know by experience it's the best decision that anyone could make, is to know you in a personal way. So Father, I pray that you'll help. And Lord, will you have your will and way? And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. These verses contain, I believe, probably one of the greatest testimonies of all ages. It's not very long. It's not very detailed, but yet it gives a summary of a testimony. It speaks of faith. It speaks of victory. And it speaks of life. And all during that time, it was in the midst of terrible adversity, terrible circumstances, and even in many cases, continuing to face death. Paul was in prison when he wrote these words of encouragement and instruction and help to Timothy. And I can only imagine he was at this point in his ministry and in his life, I could only imagine that he was getting tired. He was getting weak, and he knew that death was coming. What were some of his reactions as possibilities as he faced these adverse circumstances? You know, I'm a firm believer of this, that if you're a Christian and you're trying to do the right things, there's going to be adversity. There's going to be some that don't understand. There's going to be some that think that you're doing it the wrong way. There's going to be some that challenge, and there's going to be some that just kind of roll their eyes, and there's going to be some that stand against you. And Paul faced that. He faced many adversities. What kind of testimony was given? In the midst of the circumstances, in the midst of the adversity, in the midst of all the things that was taking place, what is the one thing that stands out? And I believe it was his testimony. He maintained his testimony. You see, these verses here give us a summary of his testimony. Verse 7 speaks of a victorious past. Verse 6 speaks of a peaceful present, even in prison. And verse 8 speaks of a glorious future. So we have the victories, we have the peacefulness, and we have the glorious future. And I say this, he only had this because he knew the Savior. We can only have true peace knowing Jesus Christ. We can only have tremendous victory because of Jesus. And we can only have a hopeful and glorious future because of Jesus. You see, the summary of this is we must have Jesus in our life. We must know Him as our personal Savior. But yet in life, we're going to have adversities. We're going to have circumstances. We're going to have difficulties, just like the battlefield that many faced in combat. They had to go into lands they didn't know. They had to follow orders that they didn't understand. And they had to trust in the process of battle. And there had to be a cause. We believe this morning that because of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in the gospel, that there's still a cause. There's still a cause. I want to refer to a story, true story. And in 2001, a missionary plane was shot down by the Peruvian Air Force. They mistakenly thought it was a plane that was used for drug use, a drug run. And as that plane was shot down, a missionary family and a pilot faced adversity. The mother and wife was killed. Her name was Ronnie Bowers. She was holding her infant daughter, who too was shot. And her name was Charity. The father and the son and the pilot lived through this terrible event. The missionary family had a burden, and they were flying back to an area to spread the gospel to over 50 remote villages along the Amazon. During the 2001 graduation commencements ceremony that I was a part of when I graduated Piedmont, they had a guest speaker. He was unscheduled on the program, but yet he was a Piedmont student, he and his wife. And I remember them when I started at Piedmont. I remember seeing both of them in chapel. And they graduated well before I did, but I remember them, and they got married, and they went off to the mission field. But during the commencement exercises of graduation, they allowed him to speak. And He wasn't the main speaker, but yet he had a tremendous message. And as he was giving that speech, as that talk, I remember thinking to myself, I'm graduating. What's the future going to be? And I remember thinking to myself, how can this happen? How can this tragic event take place to people that are serving the Lord? Our senior song for that commencement exercise, our senior song was one that I had never heard, but yet they got the senior class to sing. And here's the words of that song. With my whole heart, I humbly seek you. Now use my life, O Lord, I pray. I yield my stubborn will completely. May your commandments light my way. The chorus of that song goes, my life, Lord, is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul. I'll seek your will, never mind. Rich treasure to find. Give wisdom to choose, to give wisdom to the choices I make along every path that I take. So when I complete life's race, well done, you will say. The second verse says, your word has promised me the victory, and all I need to do is claim your strength to soar with the wings of eagles, to walk, to run, and not to faint. I appreciate that song now more than I did. Because you see, life is full of challenges. Life is full of obstacles. Life, as a believer, is a battlefield. That song was taken from Psalm, or written from Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You never know as believers what we'll face. Challenges, circumstances, obstacles, criticisms, and the list could go on and on. But when we're living a life that is pleasing to Christ, it's worth it. It's worth it. Just like I believe that so many that have died for this country, if you were to talk to them now, they would say, it was worth it. It was worth it. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And following, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? Notice the words that said, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I believe as Paul was giving his closing testimony to Timothy, he understood what he was saying. He had experienced, and he believed it was important to proclaim. There's three points that I would like to make, and I don't believe I'll be able to get finished, so I'll finish, Lord willing, tonight. But the first thing I want us to mention about his testimony is this. Verse 7 gives us a look backward. A look backward. Sometimes we look back at our life and we see mistakes and we see things that has happened and we maybe even see regrets and maybe even see some things that we're grateful for. But verse 7 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What did he say as he looked back over his life? What was he saying? You see, he never boasted over what he accomplished. He never boasted over what he accomplished, but he did give God the praise. He did give God the praise. So we see in verse 7, he mentions about a good fight. As a fighter, he was a good fighter. I have fought a good fight. He knew he had done his best. He had given his best. He had given his life. You see, 2 Corinthians gives an account of what he gave. It gives an account of a fighter and what he went through for the cause of Christ. What he went through. Just like my uncle never told us some of the things that he went through in battle in World War II, there's some things that Christians go through that may not ever be known, but God knows. But Paul gives a testimony here in 2 Corinthians, and it expresses what a fighter he was. Verse 23 says, and they ministered of Christ, I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant. Notice what he went through. In stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death oft of the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils by the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watching oft, in hunger and thirst, in fasting oft, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Question mark. Who is offered? I am burned not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. In other words, he was a fighter. He gave his all. And he suffered many, many things for the cause of Christ. And I believe that he would tell every one of us this morning, if he was here, I believe that he would tell us, don't give up. Keep fighting. Keep fighting for the cause of Christ. You see, he never gave up. He never gave up because he believed that there was a cause. He believed that there was a reason. And he didn't do it for his glory, but he did it for the glory of God because Christ changed his life. You see, if Christ has changed your life this morning and you know Christ as your personal Savior, there's going to be some tough times. There's going to be some difficult times. But he's worthy. He's worthy. Also, verse 7 not only talks about him being a fighter, but he was also a good runner. I have finished my course. The course that the apostle ran was very carefully marked. Very carefully marked. Matter of fact, it's actually found in Acts chapter 19, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, talking to Paul, go thy way for, or Paul's mission, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. See, Paul knew that his journey would be hard. He knew he would be facing terrain just like a soldier in the war. They knew they're going to be facing terrain that they've never seen, that they've never experienced. But yet Christ was the one that he was going for. Christ was the one that he was fighting for so that people would come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. You see, he was a runner. He was running a race. He knew ahead of time it would be a rough road and a difficult course, but he never quit. He never quit. Many runners fall out before the race is over. Various things might cause a runner to fall out. Maybe they're not in shape. Maybe they have an ailment. Maybe they just say, I can't do this anymore. I used to run years ago, and I used to run and just run cross country. I never ran for school, but me and a buddy of mine used to run, and we used to run about 8 miles. And we'd run through the woods and through these trails, and one day I asked him, we had done it for several months, and I asked him one day, I said, his name was Marcus, I said, Marcus, I said, well, we were running, I said, why are we doing this? And he never gave me a good reason, so we stopped. That's the last time we ran. We walked back. True story. But do you realize that Christ is a reason that we stay in the race? Paul knew. Paul knew there was a cause. Paul knew there was a fight. Paul knew there was a battle, but he was willing, although there was much sacrifice that had to be made. Paul had a determination. And the reason he had that determination should be the same reason that we should have a determination, and that is this. We have experienced his overwhelming grace in our lives, and he experienced that grace unto the end. And then in verse 7 it says, I have kept the faith. You see, he's looking back on his past. He knew he was a fighter. He knew he was a runner. But he also knew, most importantly, that he was a believer. That he was a believer. I have kept the faith. He never turned back. No matter what he faced. You and I both have experienced individuals when life becomes hard, they turn their back on the Lord. They can't understand why things happen the way that they happen. Things didn't happen the way that they had prayed and so on. And yet they've turned their back on the Lord. Paul knew that no matter what he had faced or what he was going to face, he never gave up on God. He never gave up on God. What a tremendous testimony that we have for a true servant of Jesus. What a testimony. What an example to follow. What an example. I began this morning with the missionary and with the missionary's plane being shot down in 2001. There's very little that's known about this until about 9 or 10 years later. You see, there was an investigation that was taking place. And I don't remember that the news ever told the cause of this tragedy. It was through the airways when it took place, but it never really got back to the public as to why it took place and how it happened. But in 2010, it was noted after an investigation took place. It was noted that, believe it or not, the CIA took fault in the missionary's plane being shot down. The CIA misinformed that military of another country, misinformed those that it wasn't a missionary plane, but that it was a drug plane, and that's the reason the plane was shot down. They told the Peruvian military to shoot it down. I call that friendly fire. Tragedy that had taken place. The husband, the one that spoke, gave a testimony of what had taken place. As far as I know, he's still in the ministry. He's not overseas. But as he was giving his testimony or his speaking at his wife's funeral and other times that he spoke, he said this. He said, most of all, I want to thank my God. He's a sovereign God. And finding that out more and more. Some of you might ask, why thank God? Of course, now after hearing, this was at the funeral, now after hearing some of the people speak tonight, you're realizing why, maybe. Could this really be God's plan for Ronnie and Charity? God's plan for Corey, that's his son, and me and our family? I'd like to tell you why I believe so. Why I'm coming to believe. I don't believe that at all during this incident of this tragedy, or the day or two after that, but I began to see the things and God's hand at work. I'll let you come to your own conclusion. I have a list, and this is only a partial list. It's less than half because of the time, but I'd like to read a list of things to you. Of God's, if God was in this or not. Of course, there could be some consequences, but you tell me with this half list. And I won't read to you the whole list, but I will read to you a portion. I'm convinced that God directly intervened to spare Kevin, that is the dad, and Corey, Kevin is the pilot, Corey and me, because he still has some kind of work for us to accomplish. I think he did that also to wake up sleeping Christians, including myself, and maybe most of all, to wake up those who have no interest in God. And I say tonight, wake up. I have new perspective, of course. One thing that I want you to know, Ronnie, which is the wife, has forgiven the pilot who shot her. She's forgiven. Whoever might have made the mistake, and so should I. And I have. How could I not, when God has forgiven me so? God will continue to forgive me no matter what I do because of Christ. Those people who did that simply were used by God. Whether you want to believe it or not, I believe it. They were used by Him, by God, to accomplish His purpose in this. Maybe similar to the Roman soldiers whom God used to put Christ on the cross. My conclusion, if you look for God, you will see Him everywhere. Believe God, trust God, and love God. And we say, what a testimony of an individual that dealt with a tragedy. We think of Paul's life. And verse 7 is a look back on Paul's life. We see difficult roads. We see him bearing a heavy load. We see him being misunderstood. We see a hard life. But he never gave up. He never stopped, and he had a story to tell. You see, this is what he tells us: to be a good fighter, to finish the course that God has laid out for you, and most importantly, to keep the faith. We don't know, some of you might, but we don't know the ones who died in combat for our freedom. But we know they paid the ultimate price that we can be free. We should never take it for granted. And we should thank the good Lord every day for the freedom that we have. Tonight we're going to finish this message. But as I think about this testimony, I think of a testimony of a true servant of God. And I don't know if we'll ever understand what Paul went through for the cause of Christ. But I believe that he would tell you today, it was worth it. It was worth it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. We pray if you've spoken to a heart in any way, someone that's struggling, someone that is struggling with their testimony or their Christian life, or they're just struggling in life itself. Struggling, saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. Lord, I pray that they'll come and talk to you. Father, if there's someone that isn't where they need to be, that has a desire to get closer, to strengthen their testimony, Lord, I pray that they'll come. And Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, speak to that heart. Father, I just ask that you have your will and way during this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number?